This morning, I'm beginning a sermon series on waiting. So as we go through Advent, every sermon that you will hear will be about waiting. Today, we're going to talk about waiting for the time to come. Next Sunday is waiting for comfort and mercy. The following Sunday will be waiting for the world to notice. The Sunday that our choir performs cantata is waiting for all creation to sing. So we will indeed share in this time of waiting together and learn and attend to the preparations that we need to make in our spiritual lives and in our physical lives to prepare for Christ to come again. This morning, the scripture, as we talk about waiting for the time to come, comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And of course, in Matthew's Gospel, the community was kind of in conflict over Jesus. They realized that there were some things that Jesus had come and done and offered to their community that needed to be decided upon. And so there were decisions that needed to be made. Either you were going to be for Jesus or not. So listen for the word of God. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Well, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, did you all hear what happened off the coast of New Zealand this last week? Anyone hear the story? What happened off the coast of New Zealand the other day? Samuel Pelosa, age 15. Philo Philo, age 15. And Edward Nassau, age 14. Were found 750 nautical miles away from their home after being lost at sea for 50 days. In fact, their families had memorialized them, given them up for lost or drowned at sea. While these three young teenagers survived, living on a few coconuts they had in the bottom of their boat, some rainwater, fish, and one random seagull that they caught by hand and were able to eat. So can you imagine, just imagine, waiting 50 days, not knowing whether or not anyone would find you, not knowing what to do next, day after day, floating adrift. They were in a little fishing boat, but the gas for the engine had long worn out. They had no maps, they had no direction, no way to navigate where they were going. They were just waiting. These boys had only one thing while they were waiting. They had each other, and whatever they shared it together. Well, We have 27 days to wait for Christmas. Where'd Haley go? There's Mackenzie. 27 days. We're all counting, just like you. 27 days before we celebrate the incarnation. 27 days to wait in expectant hope for joy to arrive. And some of us have more days than that to wait until we are rescued, until we are delivered or transformed in and through our circumstances. According to these scriptures, waiting in expectation is essential to this season called Advent. We must wait expectantly. You see, we're at the beginning of a new church calendar, right? We have a clean slate. This is the first day of our new year together. And we have a whole new opportunity to once again discover the full story of God's grace with us. And while during Advent, we are waiting to celebrate Christ's birth, right? We're waiting to celebrate the birth story. But this is the season that the church waits in expectation for the second coming of Christ, for Christ to come again. And it is time to prepare. It's time to put our physical lives and our spiritual lives in order so that we don't miss out on God's greatest gift. Well, the scripture witness today tells us, contrary to the several opinions of many contemporary people that you hear out there making predictions, the scripture tells us that no one knows the exact time that Christ will come again. No one. I think this uncertainty, this not knowing, is the very premise under which we can grow and mature in our faith. And from the reading of this text in Matthew, it sounds like, you know, there's not going to be anything too particular going on. It says it's going to be like it was before the flood. It says there will be people eating and drinking. There will be marriage and there will be work. We may not be out in the fields or we may not be grinding meal. But put your life work into those images. The same everyday average activities will be going on. I think that we think of waiting as a waste of time. We don't see any use in waiting these days. We are impatient, and we are more comfortable in taking charge, not waiting. I think maybe what inspires us for being so impatient is that we're fearful, that we're afraid. And waiting makes us even more fearful because maybe that waiting confronts us with the fact that we're not in control. And we don't have to be in life or death circumstances to learn how to wait. You know, there's no place where there is more holy waiting going on than any ICU waiting room. Just go over to the hospital one day and sit there and you will learn how to wait. But we don't have to be in those circumstances to learn how to wait. Waiting might mean just living with some kind of difficulty or living with less than joyous circumstances, rather than trying to manage and manipulate and control our way out of them. Waiting is about being willing to stay where you are, to live it out, and to trust that something hidden will come forth that is of God. So waiting expects that God's goodness and mercy will come forth. Waiting is an attentiveness. Waiting is an openness. It's letting go of our resistance and just being open to the present moment. Just being open. Jesus used a couple of parables when he was teaching about waiting. When he taught his disciples, he said, you know, It's like those who wait for their master, the slaves who wait for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they might be the ones to open the door for him as soon as he comes. There are some wonderful stories around the birth of Christ, around the incarnation, that teach us even more about how we are to wait. Remember the story about Mary after the angel had come and Mary agrees and says, "Let it be with me according to your word." And Mary goes to Elizabeth. I'm sure she's confused. I'm sure she's afraid. How can this be? And remember Elizabeth, when Mary comes to her door, is filled with the Holy Spirit. She feels the newborn life growing within her for the very first time and exclaims, "You are blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then they waited together in Elizabeth's home for 3 months. Together, they affirmed in each other that something was worth waiting for. And so they wait together. The same went for Mary and Joseph, both visited by the angel Gabriel, given directions to wait for the time to come, and to risk everything in their waiting. Together, uncertain, they travel to Bethlehem for the taking of the census, and there, as God intended, they give birth to Jesus. Pregnancy is a really good way to think about what it is to wait. Because while you may not be able to see the new life growing within a pregnancy, there is a whole lot going on. Something of value is being created and formed out of our sight during times of waiting. Now, waiting that is shared is so countercultural. It's just not something we do together. We close in on our own difficulties. We close in on our own circumstances when we wait alone. Even sometimes when we have cause for celebration, we do it alone. Because most often others around us are going about managing their own lives. Perhaps that is the most important reason for us to learn to wait. The most important thing that could come out of this Advent season is that waiting gives an opportunity for community to emerge, of sharing an experience of faith as we grow in maturity and wait together. Along with the stories of the incarnation, we can also look at Jesus' life and ministry to learn about how to wait. Remember the wedding at the wedding at Cana, when Jesus' mother comes to him and says, "Well, hurry up, you got to do something because the wine just ran out." And Jesus said to her, "You know, my hour hasn't come yet. I'm willing to wait." He didn't rush about going about managing things to prove who he was. Remember the story of Lazarus? Jesus waited, and when the time was right, he called dead Lazarus out of that tomb. You see, love often requires that we wait. We can't force others to respond to us. And so we wait. Well, here's the thing, and here's the really good news, that God is waiting for us. God, the Father, is just like he was for that prodigal son. He is sitting on the porch. He is ready. He's scanning the horizon, ready and waiting for us to turn toward him and to come home. ready to run down the road to greet us. God became human in the form of Jesus so that we might have a chance to reach for him. Jesus, throughout his ministry, allowed others to respond to him. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is waiting. He is praying. He is giving all that he could give. And what were his disciples doing? What were they doing? They were asleep. God is waiting for us. God waits for our response. And in fact, love always involves waiting. Only in waiting is the strength and the passion of God's love revealed to us. So here we are on our first Sunday in Advent, and we're beginning to see little glimpses of the season in our sanctuary. We have our Advent wreath out. The paraments are purple. I'm wearing my Advent stole. There are Celtic knots on this stole that signify the eternal love of God. But we want all the lights, and we want the greenery, we want the trees, we want the poinsettias, we want the banners. But truly, I don't think we're ready yet. Waiting together in Christian community gives us an opportunity to wait for that which we know is coming, to live together with courage and conviction, trusting in God's love, breaking into the world by the incarnation. That we can wait together without being persuaded to give in to loneliness and despair, but that we wait together as church. We need to wait for the time to come, Wesley Church. And like those three young men lost at sea, uncertain of their time of rescue, we too need to wait with one another. And we can affirm in one another where we see life growing, waiting together, and nurturing what has already begun. Expecting, waiting, for Christ is to come again. Amen? I'm going to close with this beautiful prayer by Walter Brueggemann, who is a contemporary theologian who does a lot of work on the Old Testament and the Psalms. Here's a prayer that he titles, The Grace and the Impatience to Wait. In our secret yearnings, we wait for your coming. And in our grinding despair, we doubt that you will. And in this privileged place, we are surrounded by witnesses who yearn more than we, and by those who despair more deeply than do we. Look upon your church and its pastors in this season of hope, which runs so quickly to fatigue, and this season of yearning, which becomes so easily quarrelsome, and give us the grace and the impatience to wait for your coming to the bottom of our toes, to the edges of our fingertips. We do not want our several worlds to end. Come in your power and come in your weakness. In any case, make all things new. Amen.